love and prayers as I've been in India for 3 weeks. For those of you who prayed for me, thank you very much. When I go away, I feel like I'm part of you. You've been sending me on these leadership training courses for decades. It was very special this time. We had 35 people from the subcontinent, including Bangladesh, 8 from the northeast of India. If you know anything about the history of missions, Mizoram, Manipur, and Nagaland are about 80% Christian. Can you imagine that in India? It's just staggering. And some of the pastors that were there pastoring churches of 3,000 or 4,000 people and just hungry for the training that we were able to offer. One of our trainers, he is an Indian. He's worked with Operation Mobilization for 30 years. And he took this training with me on the Doulos, the OM ship, in Cebu in 2001. And after all these years, he came back to be a trainer. And he is known as probably the greatest mission mobiliser in the whole of India. He has a network like you couldn't believe. And he is the Associate Director of the Indian Mission Association, which is the second largest mission network in the world. That's after Nexus, which is in America. And they supervise 250 mission agencies with 60,000 missionaries, most of them in India. So I wake up in India and pinch myself and say, Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving me this incredible opportunity to touch base with what you are doing around the world. I was able to get a lot of stories from this guy on my little recorder, and one of my friends who's another trainer had Dragon Dictate, you know, that app that most of the professionals use. So I'm just starting to get these stories out, and we'll share them with you as time goes on. But thank you again for praying. God is at work in marvelous ways. I'm going to need your help this morning. I've got a whiteboard, I've got a marker pen, and it's going to be more of a workshop than a preaching this morning. So I really need your attention, and I need you to respond, otherwise there'll be some very blank periods. Some years ago, Pastor Bertin, who was a Chadian pastor and looking after 1,200 churches, took the Leadership Matters course. And he came to my friend David after the course and he said, this course has changed my life completely. And David said, man, that's a big claim. Tell me more. Oh, David, he said, in the course we learned about affirmation. And thank you for your introduction, David. He said, that's not the Chadian way. We Chadian men, even though I'm a pastor, I speak down to my wife. I command my wife. My wife is only there to bear the children and do the washing and get the food ready. But he said, this course, I realized that I've been a sinful person. And I went home after the course and I told my wife that I loved her. For the first time in my life, I told her about some attributes in her that I appreciated. Not only that, David, Chadian men never speak to their sons. It's the wife's job to raise the sons. I went to my son and I told him how proud I was of him. I told him that I saw qualities in him that I really appreciated, and I believed that as he grew up, he could change the future of our country. Wow. So this time David was saying, woo. But not only that, David, a Chadian son, a father never speaks to his teenage daughter. Never. He said, I went to my daughter and I apologized to her that in all her life I'd never affirmed her. And I told her how beautiful she was and what I saw in her. David, this has changed my life. The Chadian way may be to never affirm, but I've discovered that affirmation is the kingdom way. So we're going to just think a little bit for a few minutes about the subject of affirmation. How would you define it? Maybe just take a minute and just talk to each other for a minute. What is affirmation? And let's get a little bit of feedback. What's affirmation? Well, I'm sure we've got some fantastic ideas floating. From this side of the room, what comes to your mind when you think about affirmation? Appreciation. Appreciation. That's what David indicated. He received some appreciation from his supervisor and it just made an incredible difference. What else? Yes. Building up with truth. We're going to talk about that in a moment because that's very, very important that it be sincere. Were you just wiping your mouth, Phil? What about from the back over there? What are some ideas? What do we think of when we think of affirmation? Yes, Brendan. What a beautiful definition. Confirmation and encouragement of the things we see. And I think it's true. We often see things, and we probably all know what affirmation is, but to do it is another thing completely. I'm going to use a definition, and just listen to this. You could jot it down if you want to, but using positive words to build others up by encouraging them to be who they are and who they can become. So positive words, building others up, encouraging them to be who they are. We talk about who they are in Christ and who they could become. Now, in James, and I'm reading from the Message version, there's quite a bit to say about the tongue. In verse 4 of James chapter 3, a small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest wind. And then he says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy. It can accomplish nearly anything or destroy. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By your speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Wow, strong words. All with the tongue. I've asked two or three of you to read some scriptures just to be sure that what we're talking about this morning has a biblical basis. So who has Hebrews chapter 10? Thanks, Vinay.
Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spare one another from great love and good deeds.
Let's consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Ephesians 4:29. Thanks, Andrew. Wow. We could read that in a number of other versions, and I'm sure that would expand the idea. And Hebrews 3.
But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may
Amen. Well, there we have it. Affirmation, encouragement of others, is actually a command in the Bible. As His people, we are commanded to affirm each other. Now, there are many biblical examples. Can you think of any examples in the Bible where someone affirmed another person? Adrian. Jonathan to David. What a beautiful example. Over and over again. Wonderful example. In fact, we could go right through the whole Testament. Start at Genesis and we'd find all sorts of examples. Remember, Jesus looked intently at Peter. And He knew what was in Peter's heart. He knew Peter was a scoundrel, really, at his heart. But He said, Peter, you're a rock. You're a rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Nathanael. Jesus looked at Nathanael. Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. No guile. In other words, Jesus said, Nathanael, you're a man of integrity. What's on the inside is what we see on the outside. What did Paul say to Timothy, that young pastor? You are, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And Paul, if you go through the epistles over and over again, from the very beginning, as soon as he opens the letter, he's affirming people. He's asking them to be firm, to be steadfast, over and over again. A number of years ago, in a very small village, in a little Catholic church, an altar boy spilled the wine. And the priest got angry and told that little kid to get out and never come back to the church again. That child became General Tito, one of the worst dictators that Europe ever saw. In a great cathedral, another communion boy spilt the wine, and the priest said, "Don't worry, I believe you're going to become a great priest one day." And we're told that that little boy became Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who was one of the best known priests in America and greatly loved, and had a television program that influenced lots and lots of people. When we first came to the church, we had a lot of things to learn, especially about Asian culture. And of course, you know my wife, she hugs everybody. And people line up for her hugs. And we'd only been here about 12 months, and a young boy came, introduced himself. He'd been sent by his parents in an Asian country to come to high school here. They'd let him know they didn't want him. And now he was living with an uncle and aunt who virtually told him, "We don't want you either." And Helen hugged him the first day he came, and he was like a ramrod. And she kept it up for about 12 months, and he was like this. Until one day we stepped out of the car in the car park, and he came up to Helen and he said, "It's my birthday today," and he had a big grin on his face. He said, "I need a hug." We see that affirmation is really important, and for many of us, it's not something we do naturally. People tell me everywhere I go around the world that I'm an encourager, but I know that I actually have a highly developed gift of sarcasm. And I've fought it all my life. And I'm glad Helen is married to me, because she brings me back to earth over and over again. And I have to apologize to her probably every week because of this. And it's not a spiritual gift, it's just a highly developed gift. What are some reasons why you think we don't affirm people? Yes. Beautiful. I thank you very much for that. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. That's very, and the Bible talks about that, actually. And what you said a moment ago is that it has to be true.
It's not a cultural norm.
You know, I've been in a... Kevin knows what it's like, and Vinay, when we're in these bubbles of Leadership Matters course, we do it in an affirmation environment. And you come out of that environment, and the first thing I heard when I got home was the big bash with the guys sitting there, the three of them, just having goes at each other. And I thought, this is... I just cringed. This is Aussie culture. It's teasing, it's sarcasm, but underneath... You know, people start thinking about that. You know, we don't... It's very difficult. What are some reasons why we should affirm people?
They need it.
Encouragement. People need building up. In one way, I've discovered over the years, it helps to identify people's spiritual gifts. And honest appreciation builds self-esteem and spurs people on to action. And that's what the scripture said before that we talked about. Just imagine that the power of our words, that God wants us to build others up and to see them spurred on. Now, there's a couple of principles that I think are important as we think about affirmation. The first one is avoid criticism, teasing, and sarcasm. This is the one that I have to fight almost daily. Why do you think we suggest that? What's the impact on people when they constantly are subject to teasing, sarcasm, and criticism?
Negativity.
Absolutely. No self-esteem. And I mean... Our society is this way anyway, and so we add to what's already there. People are hurt, people are broken. It breaks down relationships, it lowers self-esteem. I've been studying Genesis this year. It's been such a blessing. In fact, my whole love of the Bible has been revived in the last 4 weeks as I've started a particular app. If you want to know about it, I'll tell you later on. But one of the things that I've noticed in Genesis is the word blessing. There are blessings all the way through Genesis. And blessing is related to the word benediction, benedicte. In the Latin, it just means speak good words. Speak good words. When we're sarcastic, we're actually making a statement, but underneath, we're meaning the opposite. That's the problem. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And in James 3:8, which we've already read this morning, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And we know that criticism, sarcasm, putting people down can actually cause lifetime hurt. And some of you in this room came from that sort of background. And it's taken years of counselling, of being in God's Word, of trying to think in a different way to experience the healing that comes through the Holy Spirit. Kidding and teasing, which is the, you know, saying it's the Aussie way, it's almost so natural for us, but it's actually one of the cruelest things that we can do because it gets into people's subconscious and they start living that out. Now, I don't want to get into a psychology lesson here this morning, but these are realities. We had a fellow in the Leadership Matters course some years ago from South America, Alex Cilicia. And this is his story. I was born and raised in Mexico City, the very melting pot of Mexican culture. And among the very precious and unique values in Mexicans, affirmation is non-existent. It's seen as a very negative thing in our culture. And then he lists macho culture. A man would never affirm another man because he would be seen as effeminate. Now, these might ring some bells. It's not just Mexican culture. The other one is called false respect. A mother won't affirm her daughter, nor a father his son, as he could potentially lessen his authority and make him look weak. Suspicion culture. A person will never affirm his neighbour, nor a student his teacher, since doing so will be seen as a way of obtaining a favour, or because he might have an ulterior motive. In Australia, we call it the tall poppy syndrome. You know, Malcolm Fraser did, but what's the latest one? Turnbull. You know, the guy becomes to the top, and we have this deep down thing that he must have cheated or lied or even trodden on someone to get there. So we cut them down. In this Mexican thing, gender relations, in general, a man would never affirm a woman, as this might be understood as having another interest or hidden intentions. And in church culture, this is the worst one. A pastor won't affirm a church member nor a fellow minister because this will be seen as taking the glory from God. Now, I was brought up in a culture where that was very much the thing. If I was praised, oh no, praise the Lord. You know, it's. But sometimes we just need to say thank you and appreciate what people see in us. Crispus Christian is a very good friend of mine. He was on the team in India, and he tells a story that in India, and it's a bit like the French education system, no one, only those who get the very top are awarded with achievements. And he says how even when he got the top grade in 10th grade, he brought it home and showed it to his father. His father tore it up and punished him because he didn't get a distinction. You can imagine what that's done to him over the years. Now, the second principle, I've talked about sarcasm and criticism. The second principle is to give honest and sincere appreciation. Because if our affirmation is not sincere and honest, it will come across as flattery. And the Bible actually talks about this. It says, in Proverbs 28, in the end, a serious reprimand is appreciated far more than boot-licking flattery. So I love the fact that the Bible's got really good balance here. The thing about flattery is that it's insincere, and it's actually for the benefit of the speaker, not for the benefit of the listener. That's really what is at the heart of it. And I want to say this morning, if you are not used to affirming others, it is a skill that you can learn. As I say, I'm still learning it every day. It's something we can learn. And this morning I've actually given you a little sheet. If you haven't got it there, then as you go out there'll be one available. But this is just as a help, because most of us have trouble in this area. So what I'm saying is, when I look at someone and I think, well, I see some characteristics, I see some qualities in that person that I'd really love to affirm, but I'm embarrassed. I'm not sure how to do it. And I'm not sure how to express myself. This is just a help. And it could be that you can, this week, write a little note. I mean, we are at the most crucial stage in the church here. When I think of all the cultures, the Hmong upstairs, us down here, the Chinese over there, the young people, and we're about to embark, our comfort zone is about to be shambolized totally. It could be that in a couple of months, this won't even exist. I was thinking about how comfortable I've been with the idea of coffee after church. That's, you know, our comfort zones are going to be moved dramatically. And I guess part of the motivation in my heart this morning is that let's learn to affirm and love each other, because we're going to have to do it over the next 8 months in ways we've never done before. And I learned a little thing, TAP, T-A-P, just to write a little personal encouragement note. Now, we get so many emails these days, but how about a little personal handwritten note to someone just this week? T, thank them for something that they've done. A, some attribute that you see in them, and this is where the little thing of words, and then P, I'm praying for you. Wouldn't that be good? Imagine just think of someone now that you'd like to affirm this coming week. And that's what I would encourage you to do. Words of affirmation. One of the deepest needs of human nature is to be affirmed and appreciated. It's actually a need that was built into our hearts when God created us. We're created in His image. And of course, we know there's a beautiful, undivided relationship going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to reflect that in our relationships with each other. You are actually God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do His work. And you remember the other affirmation in the Bible? Jesus was affirmed at His baptism by His Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And you're God's relation, you're God's workmanship. And you can hear Him saying this morning, "You're my beloved son and daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." We've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We are very special in God's eyes. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are already doing." So I think there are tremendous potential benefits for Southside International Church as we move into this building program. I haven't even talked to Kevin, but I was so encouraged to see how the Brisbane City Council has actually interpreted it. Have you seen the sign? This is a place of worship and community use. And community use, there's a bracket and it says Youth Centre and Conference Centre. Oh, go and read it. This is how the council has interpreted it. And so it's not just us. Yes, it's huge, all right. It's very huge. It's something that's been on our hearts for a long, long time. But as we learn the skill of affirming each other, and we get this beautiful new facility and God brings people in, we're going to learn to affirm them. Most of you know I swim at AJ's every day, and there's a lovely lass. She's about the age of Fiona, my daughter, and she has the same number of children. And for almost a year, I couldn't get... She just... You know, the conversation was... And she was very closed. And one morning, her kids were there behind the counter. And I just made a little comment. "I can see that you've got some really highly developed parenting skills." The next morning, when I came in, she was almost waiting for me to come. And it's been like that for 2 years. I have the most wonderful conversations with this lady, and I believe that that was a key, just a little word of affirmation right where it hit her in her heart. Sometimes we find it difficult to learn how to receive affirmation. As I said before, "Oh, no, no, praise the Lord, give the glory to God." But, you know, if someone says, "I see in you a really intelligent, godly young man," just smile and say, "Thank you." That's what we need to learn to do. Just appreciate what others have seen and say, "Thank you." There's a beautiful story. Most of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Helen and I were in Harlem 2 years ago, 3 years ago, in the house of the watchmaker, and we actually stood in the wall where she hid Jews. It was very, very moving. But Corrie Ten Boom said this: "Every time a person praises me for something I've done, I just accept it as a flower. And at the end of the day, I put all the flowers together in a lovely bunch, and I get on my knees and I say, 'Here, Father, these belong to you.' The lovely things that people have said about me, they were really saying about you. Thank you, Father, for using me." You remember in the book of Acts, there was this guy called Saul who was murdering the members of the church. And he was on his way to Damascus to get more Christians and kill them, and he met Jesus. And then God sent him off for 3 years to learn a whole lot of things in the desert. I don't know whether he wrote the book of Romans when he was out there, but I've got a feeling he might have. And then he came back and started making himself known to the church. And the church, this is the guy that murdered everybody. Who was the one person who went to get him? And what's his name? Son of Encouragement. So in the book of Acts, you have Barnabas. And I want you to imagine this guy with big curly hair, and he's probably got a great big beard. And you've got Barnabas and Paul. And then you read into a little bit more in the book of Acts, and it becomes Paul and Barnabas. And you read a little bit more into the book of Acts, and you've got Paul. I'm encouraging you and me to become Barnabases. Barnabas was just the structure that got the rocket into the sky. And you and I have this incredible opportunity and privilege to speak affirming words and be encouragers of others, and then we can stand back and see them fly for the sake of God's kingdom. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, most of us in this room would admit that we're not very good at this affirmation business. But this morning we've seen that you are the one who created us. You created us with this need to be appreciated and loved. And I pray that you'd work on my heart, work on all of our hearts, Lord, and teach us, Lord, to be those who affirm others for the sake of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.